63rd Psalm. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. Let us pray. Father, once again, I want to thank you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you for all that's been done this morning, Father. Certainly the teaching of the Word of God through the Sunday school hour and all of our classes. Father, thank you for our children's churches at this time. God bless them and use them. And Father, for this service that's going to be taking place right here, the preaching service. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity, and we need your help and your power and your wisdom. We ask you for it, that the will of God be done. Should there be anyone here this morning, Father, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, does not have the understanding that if they died, they go to heaven, help it be the day of salvation today, Lord, that they would come to Christ and receive him as their personal Savior. Help us as Christians, O God, to be better for thee than we've ever been before. And Father, this preacher needs you. I need your help, I need your power, and I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, How to Sing in the Desert. David found himself in the wilderness of Judea. And he even said in that first verse, he was a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Thank you, Tanya, for singing that song this morning, Fill My Cup. We need a cup. Has there ever been times when you wanted to hold out your cup and say, Lord, it's dry, it's thirsty, and I need you to fill it? I need you to quench the thirsting of this soul. Most people don't know this, no need for it, but that song right there is one of my favorite songs during my times when things aren't going always right. I need God to come along and fill my cup. Quench the thirsting of my soul. David was much like that when here in the wilderness of Judea. He was in a place where it was dry and thirsty, where no water was. And so David was asking God and calling upon God. You know, I found it true. I trust you have too, but I found it true once I become a Christian. I have a new nature inside me. And there may be times when my soul gets thirsty and dry. Maybe times when I'm not everything I should be. But for some reason, it's almost like the needle on a compass. It always wants to return back to the north. That's what I've found in my Christian life. Even though there's times when everything is not like it ought to be, I'm always being drawn back to God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way God wants it. That's what David was experiencing here in the wilderness of Judea. Dry and thirsty land, but his thoughts was, he said, Oh God, thou art my God. His thoughts came back to God, and that's where our thoughts ought to also return to. Times of indifference in our life, sometimes those things do happen. Not saying they should. Times of indifference, when we get away from God, I want to tell you, God will not allow that to continue. He's always pulling us back unto him because he loves us. It may go on for a while, it may go on for a time, but God's always pulling us back. That is what was happening here in David's life when God was pulling his heart, and David responded by saying, "Oh God, thou art my God." Amen. You see, I believe something. I believe God does allow the winds of trouble to drive us sometimes into a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I think he allows that because of the condition of our soul. There's things going on in our soul that shouldn't be going on in our life. And God sometimes lets us get to that place where the land is just dry and thirsty. And after a bit, we begin to long and look for that refreshment from God. Amen. Let me show you in verse number 6 in passing here. Verse number 6 tells us of something that is so needful, but very little of it done. Verse number 6, he says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." I believe something with our relationship with God. I believe that meditation upon God is so necessary. He said he did it in the night times. I believe that Satan, or maybe sometimes it's just us, allow our lives to get so complicated, so busy, that we just don't spend much time in meditation. One of the greatest needs that I can share with you today is take time to meditate upon the Lord. I spend sometimes, my night hours are kind of funny at times, but of the night time, many times it's when God speaks to me. And I think maybe I get so busy during the daytimes that I don't give him full attention. And many times during the night, I'm awake and I'm thinking and trying to find the will of God about a matter, or talking to me about what I should preach, or all kinds of things. I believe David was saying, "I meditated in the night hours." I believe it's so needful. In passing, just let me say to you, please take time to meditate upon the things of the Lord. It'll help you so much. We are such a busy people. Way too busy. Just always on the go. Don't have time to do anything. It's not the way God intended that to be. Not condemning you for it. I'm just simply saying that's not the way God intended it. God wants you to spend a little time thinking about him, meditating as David did upon the things of God. You'll be surprised what it'll do to your spiritual life, you see. I believe something. I believe it's good and proper to be busy about serving as Martha served. I think it's important that we do. We're busy. But I also believe it's also necessary to sit at the feet of Jesus. See, you can get them all mixed up. You get the balance off. Amen? We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and let him speak to our hearts. I think it's wonderful to touch the hem of his garment and be healed. I think that's a wonderful thing. But I think it's also wonderful, as John did, to lean upon his bosom for a little while and enjoy the full fellowship that John had with Jesus Christ, his Savior. Amen. I think it's wonderful to go walk and see the great scenery and all the wonderful things and the beauty that God has given us. This time of year is a beautiful time of year. You love flowers. I like to see flowers. Some people love them dearly and spend a lot of time with them. And some of them, like us, I just enjoy seeing them. But also there's times when we need to stop and lean down and look at the wonders of God. This week, Donna has a little wheelbarrow out there that I made for her. I found a steel wheel, in a flea market somewhere, and I brought it home, and I made her a little wheelbarrow, you know, that you plant flowers in. And she had put some flowers in those, and she could probably tell me those little white ones. I know you may not know what they are, but they're beautiful. They're just little white little things. And this week, I had to get down. I got down on my knee. And I looked at it, and it's so intricate. It's so beautiful. It's a little flower that God made. Now, I've walked by those flowers many times and enjoyed their beauty. I always have.
But it's something about getting down and spending a little time and looking at what God did. What I'm saying is, our busy lives, we need so much to just take time out to enjoy what God has done, who God is. I think sometimes that's why God stops us from our busy schedule and lets us enjoy Him. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. I know the cattle of the field. I have 3 calves out there. And I watch them eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, just walking all over that pasture, just eating, 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 eating. But it isn't long they're over under a shade tree, laying down, chewing their cud. Now, I can make you sick by describing what they're doing. They are spitting up that stuff out of one of their 4 stomachs and chewing it over again. But spiritually, it's a wonderful truth. We could just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. But there's times when we need to take time to chew the cud. Take time and enjoy and get out of that which we've been eating, the good nourishment that we need. It's not in condemnation. Folks, most Christians come to church, they hear a message, they go home, they don't think one more thing about it. They don't take out of that and chew the cud for a little while. And, what is it, God, that you've got for me? That you want me to have? So I believe something. I believe one of our greatest needs is meditation upon God and the things of God. It would help us so much. It'll help our lives to be more richer if we take time to think about God. What I want to do here this morning is I want to just show you a few things. I want to show you that David here, as he cried out to God, had experienced God's help. He knew where his help came from. There was no doubt whatsoever. He immediately began to cry out to God because he knew that's where his help was. You and I take the Bible, the Word of God. We don't have any trouble. If you're a Christian, you're a solid, independent, fundamental Christian, Baptist. You believe the Bible. You believe what God says. You have no doubt because you know what you and I say. God said it, I believe it. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, we should. But there's more to it than that. The Bible talks about in Romans, and all of you can tell me, I'm sure, what comes before patience. Tribulation bringeth patience. Tell me what comes next in Romans 5. Patient brings what? Experience. And what does experience bring? Hope. We know about the patience, we know about the tribulation, but we forget the experience brings hope. Yes, amen. You see, David was looking back in his life, and he was saying, like in verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He was looking back and saying, because God helped me. Experience. I've had the experience of God helping me. And because of that, I have hope. Amen. See, that's what David was doing. David could look back to the times when, and he did, remember when his battle with Goliath and his speaking there to the king, King Saul? What did he say? Oh, I've killed the lion. I killed the bear. I remember when I was a shepherd boy and the bear came, tried to steal some sheep, and the lion came. What did I do? I slew them. He wasn't bragging. He was saying, God gave me the strength to slay them. He was in experience, say, I can experience this. I know this. I look back, I see it. I remember it. I remember when I stood before Goliath and slung that stone that God guided to the very forehead of Goliath. That's what he was saying. David said, you've been my help in the past. Amen. And, you know, he could look back on all the times that he was driven in exile and run all over the hills of Philistine hills there and all of those places that Saul was chasing him. And he said, God preserve me. Two times I was in a cave and he could have killed me, but God protected me. Why could not God, I mean David here, look and say, you've been my help? Because he experienced it. He's seen God be his help. What's that for me, Pastor Ross? You've got to learn not to look back on life and stay there, but to look back and say, God helped me. Look at the times when God saw you through something. God took care of you and watched over you and protected you and helped you through those times. What he's saying, what David's trying to teach us is, he's the same God that helped me. And he helped me in the past. He'll help me in the future. The Bible says in Psalms 116, I was brought low and the Lord helped me. Folks, listen, the Christian life, there's going to be times when God's going to bring us low. Don't you understand that? But he says, God helped me. Why? Because he can look back in his life, know that God was helping him, know that within any shadow of doubt. Why? Because God had done it in the past. He experienced it. He had experience of God helping him. And so because of that, he had hope. Amen? Do you know that even this old preacher of yours, do you know the fact that I stand here today is proof that God has helped me in the past? Don't you know because you're here today, sitting where you are today, is proof that God has helped you in the past? Amen. Experience. Yeah, I know tribulation bringeth patience, but patience bringeth experience, and experience bringeth hope. Amen. And that's what David was trying to say. I just want to tell you about God's wonderful help. Just a couple things real quickly. God's help is always timely. It's never late. Never late. God's help is timely. And also, God's help is continuous. There's never a time when God's not looking over us. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's even during the times when you feel like he has. He has not. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, God never lies. So will he ever leave you or forsake you? No, it's always continuous, you see. God's help is continuous. But let me say something to you. God does provide the strength. God provides the victories. But let me tell you, as David was looking back on his life and he said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear. David done the fighting. God provided the strength. The moment that you sit back and say, okay, God, just take care of me and I'm just sitting here waiting for you, that's not the way God does it. You see, God expects us. I always remember what David said, Paul said. Paul said he had fought the good fight and he had finished the course and he had kept the faith. Now, if you read that in just in this context there, you look at it and you say, well, David sure is bragging. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He wasn't saying that. Look at it in context and also look at it in the life of Paul. He was saying, God gave me the strength to fight the fight. God gave me the strength to finish that course and to keep the faith. That's what he was saying. Amen. But did David have to fight the fight? Did he have to finish his course? Did he have to keep the faith? Sure. But it was God that gave him the strength to do it. See, that's what David's trying to tell us here in these scriptures. First thing he does is cry out to God. God's my help. I need God. Why? Well, how do I know he will? He always has. He always has. He will never leave us nor forsake us, you see. And I want you to notice in verse 7 there also that his help was personal help. He looked in verse number 7, he said, because thou hast been my helper. One of the greatest tragedies in the Christian life today is that we're always figuring that God's helping everybody else but us. We say, yeah, I've seen God help her, Sister Ruthie there. I've seen her through all these troubles and heartaches and things. I've seen how God helped her. Boy, it's good that God helped her. But you forget that God is your strength. God is your help. And David here was crying out. He said, he's my help. It's personal. I know it's hard to understand, folks. I have trouble with it sometimes too, understanding how much God loves me. But he does. It's personal. And God loves you. It's personal. Amen. Now, because we've experienced God's help, we can expect it in the future. See, this is something that's so important that God's people get a hold of, you see. He helped me in the beginning of my life. He's going to help me in the ending of my life. That's what David was saying here. David said, God help me all these times. God's going to help me now. God's going to help me before. God helped me now. And God's going to help me in the future. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. Let's see. You know, we can go to man. We can go to man sometimes, some individual, ask for help and help and help and help. They may grow weary. They may say, you're on your own. Forget it. God never does. Never been a time when I went to God and God refused to help me. I may not have always enjoyed the way he helped me. But he helped me. He wanted to know that I knew I needed him. And he's done things in my life differently than what I would have requested. But he's always helped me. Men wear out. We're human beings. We wear out. We don't always do everything correct and right. But God always does. Amen. You see, David, look at verse number 1. Let me show you something, verse 1. It's just wonderful. In verse number 1, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David thirsted who for? God. Not for the water. Not for revenge on his enemies. Not for deliverance from his enemies. Not for the kingdom that he was soon to have. He thirsted for God. That's what his thirst was. You see, he wanted it because of God's glory. Look at verse 2 there. He says, to see thy power and thy glory go so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You know what he was saying? I remember back when I was in Jerusalem. I seen your power. I seen your glory. Now I'm out here in the wilderness. You're the same God. You're here also. You're here. You see, I think too many times we don't thirst enough for the spiritual things. We thirst for the physical things. We want this. We want that. And this is what our desire is. And all that. But why don't we just thirst for God? His presence. Not only that, David found contentment. Look in verse number 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. He was content in what he found in God Almighty, not in what he found in the things of this earth, because he was in a dry and thirsty land. He didn't have anything. But he found contentment in God Almighty, you see. And so what did he do? He praised God in verse number 3. He began just to praise God for who God was. He said, you're better than life itself. In verse number 4 through 6, you find him giving thanks unto God because who God was. Now, you got to remember where he's at. He's being chased. He's out in the wilderness. He's dry in a thirsty land. But what does he do? He begins to give thanks to God for who God is, you see. And then you notice also in verse number 7 that David found help. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David found help that he needed. Now, I think verse number 8 is interesting if you look at the context of what God is saying. Because in verse number 8 he says, my soul followeth hard after thee. You know what that basically means? This is my interpretation. It means, God, I'm glued to you. I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going. I followed hard after you. I'm glued upon you. That's why he had contentment. That's why David found contentment. He found shelter under the wings of God, as I mentioned there in verse number 7. But he found shelter under the wings of God. He didn't find it under the wings of man. He found it under the wings of God. Verse number 8, at the end of verse number 8, you notice also he found the strength. He said, thy right hand upholdeth me. Not only did he find shelter, not only did he find someone to follow, which was God, he found the strength that he needed, which was God. And God became his strength that he needed. And David also found confidence. Look at verse number 8, verse number 9. All men shall fear and shall, verse number 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. You know what he found? He found out that he had confidence. He did not have to worry about the future. He did not have to worry about his enemies. God was going to take care of the enemies. You see, sometimes we get so caught up in the fact of what our enemies are doing to us, we just got to remember something. Our enemies, and I want to keep this in perspective, and I'm going to qualify it, but listen to me. Our enemies will be punished. The enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be punished. Now, we're not rejoicing in that. I'll show you in a minute. We're not rejoicing in that. I'm just simply saying they will be punished. Do you understand? The enemies of the gospel will be punished. The pit that they tried to dig for us, they'll fall in themselves. You remember when Haman built the gallows for Mordecai and ended up being hung on them himself? You see, the hell that the unsaved tried to impose upon the godly of this earth, they will spend an eternity in it. All the hypocrisies, the shams, the falsehoods will one day perish. People can live in hypocrisy, say that they're this, 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 and may get by with that, but there'll be a day when they will not get by with that. It'll perish. All the shams that go on will perish. Amen. You remember Absalom with 20,000 of his rebels tried to take his daddy's life and ended up being destroyed and hanging from a tree and his hair. And darts went through him and killed him. See, it all turns out right. That's what David was saying here. My enemies will be destroyed. Amen. You see, the Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When it's all done and said, death will come. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. Amen. They may not be now. They may be getting by with all kinds of things. There's coming a day when the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, verse 11, I wanted to qualify that. I want you to look at verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. I want you to notice something of what he was saying here in verse number 11 was, I'm not rejoicing in the fact that my enemies are going to be destroyed. That's not what his rejoicing was. He was stating facts about his enemies and they would be destroyed. And that is true. Where did he say his rejoicing was? In God, who would receive all the glory and the honor for all things. You see, I think as a soul winner, as a Christian today, I cannot stand up here and say to you, boy, I rejoice, there's people going to hell. That would be terrible. The very opposite I ought to be saying. I do know, though, the fact that if they do not get saved, do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will go to hell. And I can make that statement and know that it is true. That is exactly what's going to happen. But my rejoicing ought to be in the fact that God is God. And to Him be all the glory and the praise. We ought to do everything we can to see to it that people come to Christ and are saved. I believe something. I believe the steadfastness of God. I believe we can stand right here today and look at this church, see the 31-year history of this church, and see that it proves the goodness and steadfastness of God. Amen? He's provided for us. Has not God done what needs to be done here at this place? Has not God done in your life what needs to be done? Well, I don't know about you, but that ought to keep you singing in the desert. That ought to keep a song on your lips and in your heart, you see. You know what's a tragedy today, and it's a shame, because the lost without Christ today will go anywhere in this world. They'll go to Mayo's Clinic. They'll go anywhere they have to go for the saving of their body. And they will. I'm not condemning this. I'm just simply telling you, they'll go anywhere to get somebody to give them another day of life. But they won't go to Jesus, that he might save their soul for all of eternity. That's a tragedy. And a tragedy is also there many times in Christians' lives, where they'll go to all extent to try to find happiness outside of God, even though they know Christ. They might also go to every extent to try to save their life for one day or 2 days. I'm not condemning this. I'm just simply saying this. We as Christians have one place we need to go. We need to go to God so we can sing in the desert. Because there's not a one of us here that's not going to be in the desert sometime. You've either been there or you're heading there. And you know what? We need to learn how to sing. And that's what David was doing. David was rejoicing because of what God had done for him in the past, in his present, and what he was going to do, the same thing for him in the future. Amen? So I say to you today, and just let me clarify this. If you've never been born again, I'm not talking about church membership. Baptism is wonderful, but I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about you trying to live a good life, try to do the best you can. I'm talking about if you have not been born again, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus says. If you've never been born again, you can't go to heaven. I don't care how many good things you've done. No matter the bad things you've done, you're just not ready for heaven until you've been born again. You say, well, Brother Ross, what's that mean? That means you come to a place in your life where you understand. You realize and understand you're just an old sinner like God said you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're that sinner. And that you are sorry toward God that you're a sinner. You have sorrow in your heart that you're sorry you're a sinner. You're sorry you are what you are, what God says you are. And you're willing to look to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of your soul, and say, Lord, you're the only way. You're the only one. You've already paid the cost on Calvary's tree. You've paid it all for me. And I want to put my faith, my trust in you and you alone. I want you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. And forgive me and give me eternal life. In a repentant attitude toward God Almighty, I'm sorry, but I want God to save me. He's the only way. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. He's it. Now, if you've never had a day when you're born again, mine was in April 1966 when I did that very thing. Understanding that I was a sinner, lost, hopelessly lost. And that I needed Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. He'd already paid the debt, and I called upon him asking him to forgive me, and he did it. It was in a church service much like this. A revival meeting it happened to be. Realize you don't have to get saved in church, but it's a wonderful place to get saved in. Gives a great opportunity for a person to say, you know what, after the preaching of the Word of God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. And if I died right now, I'll go to hell. But I don't want to go to hell. And Jesus Christ has already paid the cost for my sin for me. What I need to do is just come and put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ, call upon him and let him save me. That's what I did back in 1966. Walked an aisle much like this and let the preacher take the word of God, show me how to be saved. And I asked Jesus to save me and give me eternal life. That's what he wants to do for you. Not the reader of your heart. I'm just simply telling you that's what God wants to do. If you're not saved, if you're not 100% sure today you go to heaven when you die, you need to come walk this aisle. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to do that. That's what I'm asking you today. As Christians, you say, I'm already saved, Brother Ross. As a Christian, it may be, just may be, that you're right in the middle of the desert and you're not singing. You got a wonderful God who loves you. He's the same God that David served. Do the same for you he did for David. Amen. Just wants you to know he loves you. He wants you, maybe your need is to come to an altar and just kneel before the altar here and get along with God and say, God, help me. You've been my help in the past. You're going to be my help now. Amen. Isn't that the way God does it? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Everybody, head bowed, eyes closed. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here today, and when you talked about salvation, I do not know for sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And I'm concerned about that, and I want you to pray for me. When I say I'm going to pray for you, I'm not going to call your name out, I'm not going to point you out, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to pray for you that God would give you the courage to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, that you might be saved. Say, Brother Ross, would you pray for me? I'm not sure of salvation. Would you just lift your hand, please? Say, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure of salvation. I do not know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? You say, Pastor Ross, I sure need to learn how to sing in the desert. Been a lot of things going on in my life, and my song's gone out of my heart. But I do realize this morning that God is my help and he loves me and he'll help me. Would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Someone else? Yes, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Any others? Any others? Let's pray. Father, again today I thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you for the precious promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. Should there be anyone here, Father, that's not sure of their salvation, don't let them leave in that condition. Let them come forward, have the willingness to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Also for those, Lord, raise their hands and said, you know what, Lord, I've lost my song and I need to realize you're the same God you've always been. You will help me. And God bless them. Help them. Encourage their hearts even now as I pray. God, encourage them. Help them to know the great love of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.